listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Thank you for listening across the USA, and thank you for listening across the globe. We're going to analyze on today's program this war with Ukraine, Russia, NATO, the involvement of the United States, and related factors, because as the famous communications theorist Marshall McLuhan said, Professor Marshall McLuhan said decades ago, he said we had now entered, the world had now entered what he termed a global village. And the whole idea behind that statement was because of us, at that time, the advent of supersonic transportation, meaning jets, and the advent of a global communication system, media, TV, radio, etc., that the world was no longer as big as it used to be, that it had consolidated, it had shrunk into, in many respects, a small global village. Now, he meant that in terms of a metaphor, but it's true. So now, we in the U.S. or whatever nation you live in, even though geographically and in terms of mileage, we may be quite far away from the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and other nations, the reality is because of nuclear missiles, airplanes, the ability to mobilize troops anywhere in the world and to send them into the Ukraine conflict, plus the you know, last night I was watching, as probably you were, up close video and interviews with people in the Ukraine as Russia was invading, you know, with the explosions, et cetera, going on behind the scenes. So it very much matters from purely a humanitarian aspect. And by that I mean none of us want to see innocent people killed. None of us want to see the Ukrainian people killed. And as people that are supposed to have the love and compassion of Jesus Christ in them, we don't want to see that. But nevertheless, here we are. And the danger is that with nuclear weapons and other semi-classified, high-tech, futuristic weapons, we are in a dangerous place, because it's not so much the planned intention of the various nations involved, like Russia and NATO and the U.S. and the Ukraine. It's what could potentially happen accidentally. What happens if somebody pushes their finger on the trigger of a nuke or something and, you know, all hell breaks loose? God forbid a dirty bomb goes off in a Ukrainian city, or a nuke goes off somewhere. I mean, these things are unfortunately in the realm of possibility. So we should be very concerned. And not only concerned, we as Americans, or wherever you live listening to this program, we should be concerned, but more than concerned, we should be actively involved in whatever is happening in our world. Because if we study the Bible correctly, and that's a big assumption, I know, but if we study the Bible correctly, God did not call us his people. And God has a remnant. He has a people on planet Earth, his church, his true church, not the fake church, not the apostate church, his true church. And we are never supposed to be looking at the advance of evil and turn a blind eye to it. We are supposed to be doing what Jesus Christ commanded us to do in the last days. And yes, we are in the last days. And what did Jesus Christ call us to do? Well, among many things, he called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which means evangelism, make disciples of all nations. But Jesus Christ also, and this is something that the evangelical church in America is just in total AWOL rebellion from. It just refuses to obey God. And that, by the way, frightens me. It frightens me because I believe God has raised up so many watchmen on the wall over years warning God's people. And in America, I don't know where you're listening, but in America, there's this embedded resistance in the souls and spirits of American evangelical Christians, pastors, denominations, churches, seminaries, ministries, etc. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a 100% of those people being in rebellion, but there is a significant percentage who are in rebellion, and they are going to fight against God, justify their immoral behavior before God. They always justify it. They always give it an excuse because they need to give themselves permission to continue on in their apathy and their disconnect. And all of that, by the way, what I just said, all of that adds up to a significant percentage of God's people in America deliberately choosing to not release the supernatural power of God on our nation and other nations, but deliberately choosing to disobey God and refusing to do what Jesus told us to do, which is to occupy until he comes. What are we supposed to occupy? The land, the territory that God has given us, starting, of course, with our own nation. Now, I know I'm speaking to Christians, you know, all over the world, and I'm not intentionally trying to offend American Christians, but they do need their toes stepped on because they're in rebellion from God, which is a causative effect to a lot of these problems. And before I get into the specifics and the data surrounding what's really happening in the Ukraine, with NATO, with Russia, the U.S., et cetera, Germany, I just want to leave you with this thought. We either, as the remnant church, we either obey God, and that means we occupy until he comes. And by that, God expects us to engage in intercessory spiritual warfare with spiritual warfare prayers that involve things like repentance, binding the powers of darkness, taking authority over the powers of darkness, lifting up peoples, nations, and conflicts, both in our nation and around the world. If we would be faithful to do that, because God has given us the spiritual authority to bind and loose, we have the power in the authority of Jesus Christ to bind the principalities and powers of darkness. And we also have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to loose or release whatever God calls us to release, such as an outpouring of his mighty spirit in revival. So these are the things that God has intended for us to do in the time period known as the last days. And we are in the last days. And by the way, it's amazing how Christians in America approach reading of the Bible and studying of the Bible like I believe it's called a Rubik's Cube, you know, that square, like toy-like thing with multiple flat squares. And I have no patience for those things, but you maneuver it around until you finally get it into its precise position, except with a huge percentage of evangelical Christians in America, they're playing with the Rubik's Cube, but they play with it in such a way it keeps getting more confusing and less coherent as time goes by. God placed you and me here on planet Earth for a purpose. God called you and me and millions of others. He called us to be here for such a time as this, before the foundation of the world. Now, that calling involves us responding to his call, which is written down in his word. And he calls us to do things like repent from our apathy. You know, the verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That promise we can access by faith and repentance anytime we're willing to get serious with God. So we should be lifting up the Ukraine and Russia and NATO and that entire conflict and the United States of America. We should never have a cavalier attitude to these global events. Why? Because there's a very high probability, if you understand history, World War I, World War II, there's a very high probability of an accident happening. And by an accident, things don't go the way they're planned. Somebody oversteps their authority or power. Somebody makes a miscalculation. And the next thing you know, you're in a irreversible free fall towards something as horrific as World War III. And that is on the horizon. You can't say, well, that's paranoia to consider it. It is a potential. I'm not saying it's going to happen like that. I'm not saying World War III is guaranteed. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying World War III on the horizon is one potential. Another potential is that if we pray for our elected leaders and president and other leaders around the world, if we pray for them, whether we like them or not, God moves on their hearts and they avoid World War III, and they pray that God's spirit moves on these leaders, and these leaders then effectively negotiate a peace treaty. They back off from their World War III intentions and they negotiate for a peace treaty. So that's where we are. And we have a response, despite what you've been taught or not been taught in whatever church you go to. And if you go to a church, by the way, where they teach you there's nothing you can do but be fatalistic, and, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will happen, then let me tell you something very politely, but, you know, you need to hear it right in your face. You're in the wrong church, because you're going to a church, you're receiving teaching, which is antithetical to the teaching of the Bible. So my question to you has to be this: why would you go to a church where the teaching and the preaching is in opposition what God is teaching and telling us in his word? We go to churches, we discern what is a legitimate or a illegitimate ministry, based on whether or not that ministry, that church, that teacher, or whatever, is moving in synchronization with what the Word of God actually says, and not moving in opposition to what the Word of God says. Okay, so let's look at a few things. Going back about 14 years ago, and actually it goes back to the end of World War II, NATO deliberately reinforced in the Ukraine certain neo-Nazi organizations, certain neo-Nazi leaders. I'm not saying that the people in the Ukraine are Nazis. What I am saying is that after World War II, the SS troops, which primarily had their allegiance to Adolf Hitler, the Nazis, and the Third Reich, versus the other German troops, which were, they were basically assigned to mobilize and defend, you know, Germany. But the SS troops were among the best trained, the fiercest, the most strategic, and the most dangerous. And they specifically were assigned by Hitler to carry out Hitler's orders, and they were assigned to specifically invade and attack what nations Hitler wanted invaded and attacked. So when World War II, this goes back to the end of World War II, when World War II began to end, the Nazis, and specifically the highly trained, highly committed SS troops, continued to exist and thrive in a in an underground manner in the nation of the Ukraine. And one of the reasons for that was is that the Ukrainian people and others, they felt that Russia was still a very vital and dangerous threat. In other words, they feared an invasion from communist Russia. Even though World War II had ended, they were, you know, very paranoid, and for good reasons, of a Russian invasion of the Ukraine. So this solidified the reason to continue a underground military structure that was highly organized, highly proficient, and it was composed of the leftover organizational structure of the highly trained Nazi SS. And this continued for many years. Now, as NATO continues to this day to fear Russia because it's a premier military power, as NATO and the European nations continue to fear Russia, the need, and I'm not defending Nazism, I'm not a Nazi, I don't believe in Nazi beliefs, but this neo-Nazi SS highly trained infrastructure, it was reinforced by NATO. It was, they put in neo-Nazi leaders, they equipped the neo-Nazis with guns and ammunition and military supplies, and they did that because they needed to have access to the most ferocious fighting force in the world, just in case the Russians decided to come down and invade Ukraine, or God forbid, continue through the Ukraine into Europe. So Europe, which was definitely not in favor of the Nazis, they invested in the neo-Nazi organizational structure and movement. And going back as recently as 2014, they made sure, NATO made sure that there was a healthy number of neo-Nazi leaders in politics and banking and the military and other areas of power in Ukraine. So to this day, and I'm not saying that everybody in the Ukraine are Nazis, but to this day, there is a strong neo-Nazi remnant, let's say. And NATO wants it there because they know that it's only a military force with that kind of commitment and training that would be an effective protector of a Russian invasion either against the Ukraine or Europe. And so that's part of the equation we're looking at now. Now, of course, the United States is not trying to back Nazis. And once again, I'm not trying to say that the people of the Ukraine are Nazis. I'm talking about a remnant of SS troop type trained military soldiers that still exist in the area of the Ukraine. So what's going to happen? Well, in a worst-case scenario, if people make the wrong choices and somebody overreacts, then you would have, Russia invade and use very powerful weapons and send in massive numbers of troops, and then that would mean NATO would finance and equip even more the Nazi SS remnant and military infrastructure. Okay, so what else is going on? NATO has grown weak. It is not as strong as it used to be. And that has to do with the fact is that in my opinion, the European Union nations don't take the defending of their own nations and don't take the defending of nations like the Ukraine with the utmost seriousness that they should. They don't even bother to fund the organization, NATO, which is created for their protection. And going back to the, Trump election, etc. Trump publicly rebuked NATO and the European nations, and he demanded that they pay their fair share of financing NATO and financing their own defense. Well, the Europeans didn't want to do that. They wanted to rely on us. So they have not been preparing the way they should have been preparing. And because we have weak politicians in the United States of America, NATO and the European Union essentially expected America to pay for everything. Okay, well, what else is happening with NATO and the European Union? Well, what else is happening
is that if America and NATO do not negotiate a peace treaty with Russia, the cost of war, the United States, NATO, the European Union, and the Ukraine, of course, it would be very costly. Now, I'm reading an analysis of just how costly it would be from a report that a U.S. general has made about what you can expect. General McMaster, let me just read you a few things here from what he said. And it's important to understand what's at stake and how easily it could impact many nations in the world. And that would include America. America is vulnerable to this because we live, once again, in a global village. Okay, so this is a potential scenario, okay? America gets pulled into this Russia-Ukrainian conflict along with NATO and the European Union. And then, as part of an overall strategy, Crimea would be involved, and this would create a whole chain of events, such as the most likely scenario would involve Ukraine rapidly brought under the umbrella of NATO protection, with battle groups like those deployed into Eastern Europe being formed on Ukrainian soil as a tripwire force and modern air defenses combined with forward-deployed NATO aircraft put in place to secure Ukrainian airspace. Now, the idea or the misguided idea that our president seems to be operating under, it seems like there's a lot of people who are advising the president who don't really know what they're talking about. So, Biden made the recent decision to deploy 3,000 U.S. troops to Europe in response to the ongoing Ukrainian crisis. And President Biden declared, as long as he, Putin, acting aggressively, we are going to make sure we reassure our NATO allies in Eastern Europe that we're there, and Article 5 is a sacred obligation. Well, you know, that's all well and good to make such a boast, but the point is, can America truly back up a military commitment to the Ukraine to defend it from a Russian invasion? And I'm reading the analysis from American military generals. Biden made comments during his visit to NATO headquarters on June 15th last year. And Biden sat down with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg and emphasized America's commitment to Article 5 of the NATO Charter. Article 5 we take as a sacred obligation, Biden said. I want NATO to know America is there. But, I mean, what does that mean? America can't be there if it doesn't have the military assets or it doesn't have the, to be blunt, the wherewithal to protect the Ukraine. Those are just empty words. And Russia is not stupid, and Putin is not stupid, and they know the difference between a bluff and whether or not America, NATO, and the EU can really back up those claims. I mean, say what you will, but Putin and Russia are not stupid, and when it comes to things of a military nature, That's their main area of expertise. They have a formidable military force, formidable, highly trained. So, how would we defend the Ukraine to fight the Soviet army? And this is coming from General H.R. McMaster, and this is what he says. As someone who once trained to fight the Soviet army, I can attest that a war with Russia would be unlike anything the U.S. military has experienced ever. The U.S. military is neither organized, trained, nor equipped to fight its Russian counterparts, nor does it possess doctrine capable of supporting large-scale combined arms conflict. If the U.S. was to be drawn into a conventional ground war with Russia, it would find itself facing defeat on a scale unprecedented in American military history. In short, it would be a rout. So he's saying, we're not prepared for this. We have no idea what we're getting into, and we would be facing a defeat on a scale unprecedented in American military history. To me, those are like, you know, wake up and smell the coffee words. McMaster continues, when speaking about the results of a military study, the Russia New Generation Warfare he had initiated in 2015 to examine lessons learned from fighting in eastern Ukraine, told an audience at the Center of Strategic and International Studies in Washington that the Russians have superior artillery, firepower, better combat vehicles, and have learned sophisticated use of unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, for tactical effect. Should U.S. forces find themselves in a land war with Russia, McMaster said, they would be in for a rude, cold awakening. In short, they would have their blanks kicked. You can figure out what he said. So then it talks about America's 20-year Middle Eastern misadventure in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, and the fact that NATO and the U.S. military forces in Europe were under-equipped, undermanned, and inadequately organized to confront military aggression from Russia. The lack of a visible air defense and electronic warfare capability, when combined with an over-reliance on satellite communications and GPS navigation systems, would result in the piecemeal destruction of the U.S. Army in rapid order should they face off against the Russian military that was organized, trained, and equipped specifically to defeat U.S.-NATO threat. You know, I can continue reading on, but this is extremely sobering. And we have all the people in the American media, the puppets, who have no clue at all what they're talking about, functioning as cheerleaders that we should get into war. And they're cheerleaders that with no brains, because they're cheering us on to a war that could easily become quicksand for us and bring about a demise of whatever kind. And, you know, this is the same media that was cheering on other things recently. And they shouldn't be trusted, because they are the mouthpieces. Not of the American people. They're not even the mouthpieces of truth. They're the mouthpieces of the globalist elite. So, let's see. Even if the anti-tank weapons in possession of U.S. ground troops were effective against modern Russian tanks, and experience suggests they are probably not, American troops will simply be overwhelmed by the mass combat strength the Russians will confront them with. I mean, you know, I'm reading this and I'm saying to myself, this does not look like a prudent or intelligent move. So, this is not good. Let's stop there and just say this is definitely not good. So, on top of what General McMaster said, we have additional factors. We have the additional factors such as how will this impact the global economy? How will this impact the European Union economy? How will this impact the U.S. economy? Well, figure that out. It's not going to impact it very well. And then we have hidden potentials, such as what will communist China do? Well, you can kind of figure out, you don't have to be a military genius to figure out potentially what communist China may do, what other enemies of the United States might potentially do, especially in the Middle East. If America is pulled into a military conflict and it gets in over its head, then the enemies of America rightfully perceive that this is a great time for them to invade any territory that America is involved in, especially the militant Islamic nations in the Middle East. And communist China could easily make a move to recapture some of its former territories. And you know what? I doubt very seriously that America would have the power and resources to hold back China if China started taking back some of its former territory. I mean, this thing could easily turn into a nightmare, and it could easily turn into World War III. So to sum it up, this is not good. So when I say to you, when I talk to you about the importance of prayer, let me just shoot straight with you. God is giving us a choice. You know, we are not in the position as true Bible-believing Christians. We're not in the position of being powerless and spiritually impotent. Let's get that fact firmly established in our minds. We're not in the position of saying, well, there's nothing we can do. That's the position of humanists and others. We're not in that position. Why? Because we serve the only true, infinite, personal, living God of the universe. And we have the option, I'm very serious about this, we have the option from God to call upon God and ask for the living God, the biblical God, to supernaturally intervene, supernaturally invade these potentially disastrous military situations. Why? Because God has given us the authority and the spiritual right to do so. What we have in America, the largest problem we have in America, let's face it and quit beating around the bush. The largest and most dangerous problem we have in America, and I would like those of you who are listening in other nations to hear this, because the same principle applies to you, but applies to America even on a larger basis, because we were established as a Christian nation by the Pilgrims and Puritans. The bottom line is this: the God of the universe, if we take God's word seriously, which means we believe what it says. But you see, here's the problem. Here's the real problem. Here's the root issue. The vast majority of the American church, never mind the overwhelming majority of the American people, do not take seriously the reality of God, and they no longer believe what God says in His Word. And what God says in His Word is very plain and simple to understand. And that is this. And before I get into it, I want to remind you that you can get additional resources to read. You can take advantage of our Roku channel. You can listen to archives of the Paul McGuire Report. You can pre-order, still at a discount, Power from on High, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Conquering the Matrix, and other books. They're all available to you at paulmcguire.us. Also, we need your help ASAP to spread this message that you're hearing now far and wide as fast and as fast as possible, all across the United States and all across the world. We need to combat this false doctrine that produces apathy and a kind of spiritual drunkenness. We need to combat that as fast as we can. And we do that by communicating truth. But we need your help. I need your help in increasing our financial input, increasing the amount of people praying for us, and asking those of you that are listening to get serious and to begin praying yourselves and join with other true believers in believing intercessory prayer warfare. Because if we do those things, we can turn this around. If we continue in our present state of apathy and delusion and apostasy, we're going to go down so hard, you have no idea. What General McMaster said applies to us in the U.S. as well as to what's happening in the Ukraine. And I don't need to elaborate on that because you're intelligent enough to understand what he said and how it applies to us. Okay, so you can go to paulmcguire.us, paulmcguire.us, make a donation, let us know you're praying for us, educate yourself with our books and other resources. And the vast majority of what we have at paulmcguire.us is available to you free. So it would be great if you sent out our links and our videos and our audios, that you spread them far and wide. Okay, so let's get down to it. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has given us spiritual authority in the name of Jesus to take authority over the devil, which means that we have the power in Jesus' name to bind or block or restrain the principalities and powers, the powers of the devil, whether in a localized region or a national region or on a global region. We also have the power as intercessory prayer warriors to pray intercessory prayer warfare and bind the powers of darkness that are attempting to agitate and operate in places like the Ukraine, NATO, Russia, the European Union, and other nations. We are not supposed to stand by in a stupor. We're supposed to have a sober, vigilant eye and spiritual vision that is working, and we're supposed to be listening to the warning of the watchman. And when we see these dangers mobilized like they are in the Ukraine and Russia, we are not, above all things, we're not to do nothing and go and just, you know, go AWOL. we are to immediately become involved in spiritual warfare by using by faith the supernatural authority that Jesus Christ has given us. And that means, as the true remnant church of God, we have been given the supernatural authority by Jesus Christ. He's given us the power to occupy. He's given us the power to bind and loose principalities and powers. He's given us the power and authority to engage in intercessory prayer. The only thing that prevents that from happening is if God's people in America and around the world begin to commit the horrific sin of not believing God's word, to commit the sin of unbelief. And if we commit the sin of unbelief in God's word, then we enter a state of powerlessness because we refuse to act upon what Jesus Christ has taught us, exactly what we have. We have the supernatural power of God. We can bind and loose. We can ask God for anything in Jesus' name, and he will do it for us. That's enormous power and authority. That authority is largely unknown in many nations in the world. That would include Russia and the Ukraine, and it would include the European Union and other nations. They predominantly and largely do not understand how it is possible for them to appropriate the supernatural power of Jesus Christ in the earth. They're relying totally on physical military weapons, which, yes, they're important, they're essential, but that's only one dimension of a two-dimensional battle, and that's the message we're trying to get out. We're not just supposed to be using physical military weapons. We're supposed to be using, in addition, in tandem, what the Apostle Paul called for when he said, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities, the powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places." So what we must understand with a biblical clarity is that behind all of the conflicts in the United States, behind all of the conflicts with Russia, the Ukraine, Germany, the European Union, and the related nations, behind all of those conflicts exists a greater conflict in the invisible realm. And that's the conflict where we're fighting not against people, not against flesh and blood, but where we're fighting against the invisible principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, in order for the church to fulfill its complete mandate before God, it can't merely engage in battle solely in the material realm. It must, by faith in Christ and faith in the Word of God, it must move into the spiritual dimension that the Bible talks about by faith, and then it must use the weapons that God has given us in that spiritual dimension. And that can be done while we're living here in the United States or we're living in any nation on planet Earth. We're not restricted in terms of entering the spiritual battle to a specific geographic location. We can fight the spiritual battle by faith from any physical geographic location the Lord places us in. So, anywhere on planet Earth, we can do this. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to find an ever present help in time of need. That means
our ability to secure the supernatural power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, our ability to release that, our ability to bind and loose the principalities and powers, our ability to call on Jesus Christ to move with great power, is not contingent upon our daily performance, a legalistic set of duties, or any man-made attempt to earn brownie points with God or to be spiritual before God based on a set of legalistic duties. That misunderstanding of the scripture, trying to come to God based on legalistic performance, is probably the greatest false teaching known in the history of the world. And what when God's people do not understand the truth of the gospel in all its fullness, they find themselves paralyzed in their ability to engage in spiritual warfare. And then they are, of course, consequently taken down. We must have a proper biblical understanding that our ability to secure and operate in God's supernatural and miraculous power is based on faith and faith alone. It is not based on our, going down a checklist and accomplishing an entire list of legalistic performances. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We will be back in a moment. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, starting at verse 7, it says this, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." Okay, so this is a powerful truth, and if you intend on obeying the call of God on your life now, then what will free you up to be an overcomer and a highly effective spiritual prayer warrior is the truth of God's word, which will set you free to be an effective spiritual prayer warrior. So what we learn here is that Satan and the fallen angels want to block you and prevent you from engaging in spiritual warfare, even if that spiritual warfare is far away from the U.S., as is the case in the Ukraine and Russia and the European Union. Satan wants to block American Christians and Christians anywhere on planet Earth from engaging in intercessory prayer over that physical battle, because Satan knows far better than most Christians what will happen if God's people begin to engage in effective spiritual warfare. Satan knows just how powerful those spiritual weapons are. So Satan tries to use lies against the true remnant church of God to prevent them from using their supernatural power. So it says right here, the devil or Satan deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, now the accuser of our brethren is Satan. And what this is revealing to us is one of Satan's primary spiritual weapons designed to shut us down is when he accuses us by name before the throne room of God. And those accusations may be based on truths, by the way, or they may be based entirely on lies. So when it says that Satan accused them, that's us, the remnant church, before our God day and night, what that means is when you're in spiritual warfare and you're attempting to pray and call the power of God down in any particular situation, you can expect to be involved in a all-out spiritual confrontation with the devil. And what the devil will attempt to do to you is point out all your sins, all your failures, all your hypocrisies, which may or may not be real and true, or they may be lies. But Satan's going to hammer you with all these accusations, because if he can marshal up enough accusations against you before the throne room of God, his goal is to demoralize you, to block you from understanding your power in Jesus Christ. But most of all, the goal of Satan in doing that is to disintegrate your ability to be a successful overcomer and a successful, victorious, spiritual intercessory prayer warrior. That's what Satan is really after. The purpose of the litany of accusations is to destroy your ongoing spiritual warfare that really does have the power to bind and block him. This is the core of the warfare. And when you understand the core of the warfare, what it's about, and then mostly, not only understanding the core of the warfare, but having a supernatural revelation from God by the power of the Holy Spirit about how to defeat Satan and how to overcome Satan when he levies this kind of spiritual warfare against you. Okay, so let's read what your counterweapons are. Now, I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and ears. Otherwise, you're going to be paralyzed by lies. So it says, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, Satan, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they, that's you and I and the remnant church, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. So what this tells us is that we have right now, at this second, at our disposal, an enormously powerful spiritual weapon that can destroy the accusations that Satan is shooting at us like fiery missiles or fiery arrows. All his accusations, which are designed to cripple us
and block us from using our power as prayer warriors, all those accusations can be destroyed by the supernatural power of God. But the way these accusations are destroyed by the supernatural power of God is that you have to understand precisely what it is that the devil is really doing, and then you basically break his arms and his neck by strategic spiritual offense. And if you're reluctant to do that, well, then go ahead and let the devil totally burn down and destroy our nation and our world. I, for one, am not going to participate in that kind of cowardice. All right, so this is how you appropriate the power of God. This is how it's done. You recognize that Satan's primary offensive weapon is accusation, accusing you of sins you really committed, or accusing you of lies about sins that you didn't commit, and accusing you before God. The idea is to get you to be so overcome with false guilt that you're spiritually paralyzed from operating in the spiritual warfare on an offensive basis. So, how do you overcome Satan? Right here. You overcome Satan and his accusations this way. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Okay, so Satan is bombarding you before the throne room of God with all kinds of lies, as well as truths about sins you've committed, inconsistencies, and you're paralyzed because you think God will have nothing to do with you. God will not honor your intercessory prayers. All of that is a lie. What God wants to reveal to you in this passage of Scripture is this. It's very simple. All you need to do is appropriate by faith the blood of Jesus Christ over your life by asking God to cleanse you of all sins or any sins that you've committed. You appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ, which has the power to cleanse you of all sin. You appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ by faith in Jesus Christ. When you ask God to forgive you by faith, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all sin, past, present, and future. Therefore, Satan's accusations are vaporized by the blood of Jesus. He can no longer effectively paralyze you because all of your sins are removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of his accusations are removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which you have utilized by faith, you now have silenced the accuser, and you now have overcome Satan because of the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, which now cleanses you of all sin. Well, what that does is right now, at this moment, because you've been cleansed of the blood of Jesus Christ of all sin, you are liberated. You are free. By faith, you are pure and holy. And now you can come before the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses you of all sin. This gives you the entitlement to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask Jesus for anything you need in spiritual warfare. So at this moment, you're not powerless. You can engage in spiritual warfare prayer over anything in the United States, in your own life, in your family, and you can lift up before God the situation in the Ukraine, the EU, Russia, the U.S., and you don't even have, you're not God, so you simply ask God to intervene, to rule and reign, and you ask God to dismantle a potential World War III. You ask God to send in his angelic armies, and you have the right to do that according to the Word of God.
So now you're not amputated. Now you're a formidable prayer warrior. And the prayers that you pray anywhere on planet Earth, as you go boldly into the throne room of God, release such enormous power that it's described as the dunamis, the dynamite-like power of God. So what God is calling his people, that's you, to do right now, is stop playing tiddlywinks, stop playing church, stop being stupid in the name of Jesus, know the word of God, act on the word of God, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And when we engage in this kind of intercessory prayer together, we become united in Christ, a force to be contended with, a force so powerful that we can, the children of God, can divert a World War III or something of that nature. In the same way, as we engage in intercessory prayer warfare, we can roll back COVID and its countermeasures. I want to encourage you to act on the truth of God's word that I shared with you today. Help us to spread it far and wide. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.